When it's cold, I'll wrap my scarf around you. Written by May Liesk and read by Flower Parish. This is an Avatar The Last Airbender fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Kelsang and Kyoshi. Abridged summary. Back from the search for the Avatar, Kelsang finds Kyoshi in less than ideal health and vows to never let that happen again. Kelsang tried to calm the stumbling of the rhythm inside his chest as Peng Peng landed on the dry soil of Yokoya. Everything was right again, he reminded himself, as he ruffled the fur on Peng Peng's head, chuckling when she nuzzled her face against his body. They had found the Avatar, finally, and everything that had been so wrong since Kurik's passing had righted itself. The hope for the world was back. Yet, Kelsang couldn't dispel the ball of worry that had lodged itself under his ribs. The methods that had been used to determine Yun as the Avatar were unconventional at best, and Kelsang, no, he couldn't have doubts, not now. Not when everything was still so uncertain, so fragile. This day was supposed to mark the beginning of a new era of hope, and he had to trust the others' judgment and have faith that everything would be all right. He said goodbye to Peng Peng and made his way through the servants that crowded the halls of the estate, frantic and busy with everything that had to be done for the newly appointed Avatar and the officials that would be arriving soon, to be as comfortable as possible. He entered the kitchens, spotting Auntie Mui by the door, yelling instructions at a group of maids across the room. "Can I help with anything?" She yelped, "Brother Kelsang!" She dusted the non-existent dirt off the front of her clothing, then turned to him with her hands on her hips. "You startled me. What are you doing here?" Kelsang hid a smile at her expense. "I was looking to see if there was any way I could help out here." She pursed her lips. "Thank you for the offer, Brother Kelsang, but right now, the best way you can be of assistance is by leaving the staff to do their job." She glanced somewhere behind Kelsang, and sure enough, he was standing in front of a sink, in the way of a scullery maid who was holding a stack of plates and looked like she would rather be anywhere else. "Oh," he moved to the side. "Sorry about that. All right, I'll go then. Good luck." He nodded at Auntie Mui and left the kitchens, but not before swiping something from the counter near the bins when she had her back turned. He milled about the estate more, trying to help where he could, but as soon as he was sure his presence would not be missed, he slipped out of the estate, the tart he had nicked from the kitchens tucked into his robes. The others would take care of the Avatar. The servants were already fawning over him, and that was with Heiran and Jianzu at his side. He was needed elsewhere. He made his way through the streets of Yokoya at a brisk pace. It almost seemed deserted, with everyone with the ability working on the fields or out at sea, but Kelsang didn't mind. It made it easier to find her. He craned his neck as he walked towards the house of the farmer who had assured him he would care for Kyoshi while Kelsang was away. Soon, he found a figure slumped against the crumbling wall of a small building that looked like it might collapse at any moment. Their eyes were closed, but their breathing was shallow. A lump rose in Kelsang's throat. Their ill-fitting garment could not conceal the thinness of those arms, nor the shadow of the ribs beneath them as they clutched their chest. He crouched down at a respectful distance. "Kyoshi?" Kyoshi jolted awake. Her head shot up, and a wave of anger washed over Kelsang as he saw the wild, wary look in her eyes. She blinked. "Kelsang?" Her voice was hoarse and dry and raspy, as if it took a tremendous effort to force that single word out of her parched throat. He could ask how she felt. Was she thirsty? How long had it been since she had eaten or drunk or slept? But he wasn't sure he wanted to know the answer. He felt a stab of anger, both at this indescribable cruelty, to let a child starve just because she wasn't related by blood, and at himself for not preventing it, allowing it by misplacing his trust yet again, but he fought it down. It had no use, not right now. But he made a silent promise to himself. He would never fail Kiyoshi like this again. He beckoned his head, smiling gently. Come. She eyed him cautiously for a moment, then got to her feet. She wobbled, but Kelsang was quick and caught her before she could fall. Come, he said. I know somewhere you can rest. Kiyoshi tried to walk, but stumbled again after a few steps. Kelsang steadied her, but her breathing was labored, and she had to lean on him heavily to stay upright. He smiled as kindly as he could manage, with the pain and anger rising in his chest at seeing her like this. Is it okay if I carry you? When Kiyoshi faltered in yet another attempt at walking, she closed her eyes and gave him a small nod. He swept her up in his arms as if she weren't around the same height as he was, and made his way towards the Avatar's estate. Paying no mind to the confused looks he got from the servants, as he walked into the hall with a half-unconscious teenager in his arms, he trudged through the mansion, stopping by the kitchens, and eventually ending up in the infirmary. Kiyoshi startled awake as he laid her down on one of the beds. She looked around with sharp, jerky movements. Where? Somewhere you can rest, Kelsang said softly, squeezing her hands. Somewhere safe. The look she gave him was wary, yet there was an underlying trust to it that made his heart ache. It's okay. You're safe here. After one last look, she lay down slowly. Kelsang grabbed a chair and sat down next to the bed. He grabbed the carafe he'd levitated over from the kitchens and poured Kiyoshi a cup of water. She finished it before Kelsang could place the tart he had taken with him on the bedside table, but he refilled the cup without complaint. When he saw her eyeing the tart, he chuckled. Yes, that's for you, he said. Be careful not to upset your stomach, though. With small bites as if to savor it, she ate the tart. Voice still hoarse, but less than before, she asked Kelsang what he had been up to while he was away, and he recounted his newest travels, his voice excited but hushed, a feeling of familiarity and comfort washing over him. Kiyoshi hung on his every word, even as her eyelids fluttered and the yawns she tried to suppress became more frequent. He stroked the back of her hand with his thumb and lowered his voice as she began to doze off, a comforting quiet settling in the air. There was a gentleness, perhaps, in this broken thing. Not the cruelty that made it so, no. A child should not suffer like this, whether by the hand of others or doomed by legacy, but in the mending of the wounds it left. In the careful hand that cleaned them, dabbing at blood that should never have been spilled. The touch that was soft because it needed to be, but shouldn't have been necessary in the first place. I promise I'll never leave you for so long again, he whispered, just before her eyes slipped shut. He would need to convince Jianzu to let her stay, but he wouldn't let anyone hurt her anymore. Not for as long as he lived. The end.
Don't you know that I'll be with you all along, as long as you are kind to those who are not strong and cannot find their scarlet welly boots, cause when it's cold, I'll wrap my scarf around you, and when it's hard, I'll place your head into my hands, and when you scream that it's not fair, it's like I've gone off to the coast, left you behind just standing there, pretending not to see your ghost. If only you could hear my voice, but you are screaming far too loud to hear me swear. Just because I left doesn't mean that I'm not still there.